At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Supreme Raiders of Resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, stories so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reselling Raiders, where we talk everything from eBay to whatnot. I'm Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. Tonight, we have a jam-packed show, tons of bolos, as always. We're definitely going to talk about what's selling well, and we want to talk about preparing for your whatnot show. We definitely want to dig into that a little bit. Appreciate everybody out there listening all over, and I think we got a spike last week of some new listeners, so we really appreciate them coming on. Some of our most dedicated listeners are from Bloomington, Baton Rouge, Orlando, Elkhart, and the Villages. Really appreciate you guys.
O-Town, hold it down, baby.
Hold it down. And if you're seeing us live right now, make sure you get into the chat. We'll definitely have a giveaway. Going to do a hat shaper this week. It's my turn for the giveaway. So if you're a member of the channel, you can always join by hitting the down below, the bio down below. You can go there and become a member, and you'll be in the giveaway every single week. And we're going to do a hat shaper this week. What did we do? What did we do last week? What did you have, Mike?
It was your choice of a shirt or a hat because I was at home.
Oh yeah.
So, an XL t-shirt was what was chose.
Yeah. Nice. We always do something vintage usually, or something cool like a hat shaper. So you never know. Get in the chat, drop us your questions. We definitely got a question from Quirky Quest Treasures, this week. I want to get to, cause it was a really good question. And always, we're ad-free on YouTube if you want to check us out on YouTube for the latest shows, but we still got to pay the bills, and I think Coach is going to do that for us this week.
I think I will. Let me jump right on this ad read from our sponsor tonight. Hey, before we raid another dusty attic in search of priceless Beanie Babies and questionably sticky Power Rangers, we must stop to honor our brave sponsor, the Flying J Travel Centers. Come on, everybody. That's right. While Indy had a trusty whip and a map to lost treasures, we've got the Flying J. Whether you're chasing grail-shaped Tupperware, dodging booby-trapped garage sales, or just need a bathroom cleaner than the Temple of Doom, Flying J has you covered. Fuel for the truck? Check. Snacks that look suspiciously like ancient artifacts? That's a double check. Fresh cup of coffee strong enough to make you think you can outbid that guy with a mullet on whatnot? Absolutely. Next time you're on the road, remember, treasures aren't just in the thrift shops. They're also at Flying J Travel Centers, where every pit stop feels like discovering a new relic. Except this relic comes with beef jerky. Now back to the show, where we dig through garages like archaeologists with a PayPal account.
Thank you, Flying J.
Flying J.
Holding it down.
One of the OGs of the Travel Center game, you know?
Yeah, we don't have many of them here. Ours is mainly like Loves is the big one that's kind of like Flying J around here. But it's usually pretty dirty. It's not, not my favorite place.
Lot lizards, the whole nine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Go there, get you. Go there, do get you some beef jerky, get you a little gum down, you know? Yeah.
The J girls. That's what we call them, Flying J. Yeah. The Fly girls.
Yeah, he said that's what we call them. You know what I mean?
Hey, yeah, we are the Flying J team here, guys.
Yes.
They're our sponsor this week.
Thank you, Flying J.
If you need more Lot Lizard talk, make sure you check out next week's episode because it's already been taped. And Mike goes even a little further. It was pretty risque episode, I'm not going to lie. So,
we kind of went a little hard on that one.
Yeah. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Maybe 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we're here next week. We're here next week.
We're here next week. But we're having to tape a couple because Rob's going to be gone to Japan.
Tokyo.
For a couple of weeks.
The land of the free
Land of the rising sun.
Land of the rising sun. Okay.
There you go. We're the home of the free and the brave.
Okay. Well, I was getting there. You did. I was going to make my way.
I think that little red burn on your head is affecting you right now.
Yeah, dude, I think I lost a brain cell or two.
I don't think you've shown everybody yet. What did we do?
Oh, dude, boys.
Shave that head.
Did you?
1 second, I can't hear you. I'm back.
Are you going to polish it?
Yeah, well, the thing is what I've noticed, and this is a very, very sad thing, is that, and it might be like this for everybody, but my hair actually grows pretty fast. so my hairline is not great, right? But the hair that I do have actually grows pretty quick. So I just shaved that on Saturday, and it's Wednesday, and there's already hair.
Yeah, mine does the same thing, man. It's like, haircut? Did you just get one like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and I have not perfected the shaving the back of my head portion of this. Like, everything to like here, I'm good. You know, I can get it. The back, though.
You gotta get one of those little things that they hold, the razors that they hold in their palm of their hand, and they just do this.
Yeah, that is one of my next Amazon purchases.
Yeah, we definitely need a sponsor. We could definitely have a head shaving sponsor.
Yeah.
That would be good for our demographic. I feel like half of our people out there are probably bald or going bald that listen to us. I've looked at the demographics.
Yeah. Usually that's also like, you know, at least partially why we wear hats. You know? There's definitely dudes with freaking beautiful hairlines, thick, luscious hair that wear hats, don't get me wrong. But, you know, at least north of 50% don't have gray hair. So
some of us just
The other day that it's just time to call it quits, you know what I mean? So I'm happy that you both of you and anybody else that was here the last couple months of this pod was here during my final moments of having hair, because on my word, I will never have hair ever again.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I mean, like, it's like once you go bald, you never go back, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah.
Because there'll be like some weird phase there that you just can't. can't get over it.
I can't deal with it.
Wait, yeah, wait, exactly. Time out here. Worst day at Bald for the wedding?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, 100%. Amanda's already
you'll be toned by then.
Yeah. That's why I purposely didn't wear my hat at training today so I could get like a good base layer, you know, burn. Sun on it. You know what I mean? Got to get a good little burn. Then it'll kind of start matching the rest of my skin tone. So, yeah.
So the rest of you is burned?
For the most part.
Maybe we could get a toupee sponsor too or something like that.
Dude,
maybe
you could go. I'll call my boy Donald Trump, dude, and see like what and see who he's freaking see who he's been contacting the last couple of decades.
You need to pick one up.
Good sponsor.
Don't you see one around the flea every now and then? I'm sure you could pick up a don't they sell wigs sell pretty good. I think so, some of them that are made like with real hair, they have a good selling price on them.
I'm telling you right now, if we do a pod and I got a full head of hair, dude, you both mind your business. Okay. Yeah.
I need you to show up to every week with a different wig. That's what we need.
You got to have a Joe Dirt wig.
Something expensive.
Theo Von wig. I think they're kind of similar, but I think you could definitely. And you could have a Trump wig.
Yeah.
Then I could rock go some with stuff. The pink spiked hair. Come on, man. Yeah. I need you every. You got it. That is your mission on this pod, is to have a different wig every week.
Yeah, I'm gonna need us to pitch into the. I'm gonna need us to pitch into the wig fund, though.
Nah, you just gotta. You can
get
them
to the flea market.
Yeah,
they gotta be there.
There's a couple things in the world that I'm not gonna be okay fine at the flea. Bed sheets, or any bedding period, mattresses, and any wigs. Wigs and how do you even wash those things, dude?
Just you know what I mean? Some Dawn in the sink, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Lay it out in the sun.
Yeah.
I like dry it on actually. Delicate. Dry it on delicate.
Oh, ugh.
God. Put it in a wig bag.
Like, I'm gonna come back with cornrows, dude. I'm gonna come back with a freaking weave, dude.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
I gotta get Mike a wig.
dude, Amanda's gonna win a giveaway of Rob's, and he's just gonna send me a wig, dude.
Yeah. No.
Hey, Rob, you probably have honestly, truly, you probably have one laying around there.
Here we go. I got it right here. Light brown? Are we to go with light? No, we got to go with gold. I need Michael in the gold. Don't even look at the price. Here's the wig.
Don't even look at the price.
There it is.
That is fresh, actually.
That is. When I think of Mike, I think of that.
That is loaded in my cart right now with Mike's address on it.
That is super fresh. Hey, I did want to say, did you guys, this doesn't necessarily have to do with the entire theme of the pod, but did you guys see?
We're 10 minutes in and haven't talked about anything besides.
Yeah, it's all right. Freestyle. But did you guys see the new Meta glasses?
Yes.
I have. Yeah.
They look what do you guys think about them?
I would.
Now they're $800. I'll say that.
Yeah, I have to have my prescription.
Uh-oh. Yeah, my thought was I would need the prescription and then possibly the fade to black. But yeah, I mean,
transition lenses,
cost prohibitive. You know, it's just not where I want to be right now.
Yeah,
800 is a little high. That's about where GoPro started, and then it came down a little bit. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still new on the market and everything. I mean. Now, I will say, for your adventures where you like to drive from store to store, they would rock.
Yeah.
What's the battery life like, though?
It's supposed to be pretty good as long as you're not recording, like, the whole time. I guess, like, you're
just streaming
from... Well, no, like, no, because you can't even stream on them. Like, I just watched a video about them from one of the tech guys, and they... It has applications on them, but they're only like, you know, Facebook owned. So like if you wanted to text somebody, it's through WhatsApp. If you wanted to video call like through proprietary WhatsApp
stuff, then?
You know what I mean? And like there's a Google Maps on there, but it's a Meta Maps. You know what I mean? So it's it doesn't interface with like every, you know, all of the applications that you would get on your iPhone or your Android. And so
come on, you know, now, eight bills. I better have more shit than that.
But I have been, a couple of my buddies have like the Meta Ray-Bans, just like not the brand new ones that they just came out with, like with the little heads up display type of deal, but just the other ones. And those are like $200 or $300, somewhere in that range. The biggest problem is you can only record for 5 minutes and then you have to like record again. And they said if from full charge to dead, you can get about an hour of footage.
That's not bad.
They did say the cool part was they did say that when you put them in the case, it literally takes 10 minutes for them to charge
from the case.
Yeah. 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 So they said that they charge up super fast, but nice. I wish that the video recording was a little bit longer, you know, like I like having to say to record this every 5 minutes is like, I get kind of a little bit annoying, I think. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you still got to cut it at the end anyways. I found it easier to do whenever we're recording something, if we hit pause and then hit start again. And then it makes it a lot easier once you get to editing, I think, and you don't have all that time.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm in between that you're not sure if you cut something out.
The dead space. That's how I do my preview videos. I just pause it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's like a good way to kind of get into the content creation part of this game without having to, you know, make it as obvious, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, a GoPro is just a pain in the ass, too. It's not easy.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just like a very obvious thing, you know? So I was like, so anyway, I've been looking at those. So I looked up the new ones. The new ones are thicker. The frames on them are a little thicker. So I'm not a glasses guy. Like, I don't even wear sunglasses. So, I mean, unless I'm fishing, that's the only time that I wear sunglasses. So, you know, I can think
of. I'm surprised you don't have a GoPro.
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I just.
So why didn't you use that when you went around?
Because I just.
You can't stream from it on whatnot.
Yeah.
With a GoPro, you can?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean,
Would you have to do the OBS then and choose the GoPro as your device?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I last time I did go live on whatnot. I was talking about the YouTube thing, and it was
this one.
Yeah.
With the little screen on it and shit.
Donnie made it.
Donnie.
It was super easy to go live on YouTube, though. All you had to do was hit go live there and sign into your account, and automatically I was live on YouTube and whatnot at the same time. And that's how you. And what I'm thinking is, like, when I do whatnot, like on the Ray Train, and I'm selling stuff really good, I can make some better content that way, and on the things that I'm selling, and then be able to. Since it's recorded, I can download it then and then cut that up nice and make like better shorts things sold for. Like you could put how much it sold for while you're auctioning it off and talking about it. And I think those would make good content. Cause that's who I asked you about. I didn't ever hit him up, but Hit 'Em Far Golf. Isn't that who I asked you about?
Yeah.
He has some cool videos on TikTok that he's doing whatnot, and it's showing how much the price is going up on his on the content that he's making. It shows how much this Scotty Cameron sold for and how good of a deal everybody got. And it was a really cool piece of content that he did, and I was wondering how he did it. And I am assuming that he uses that to download that video. So
yeah, I think dual streaming it or whatever onto his YouTube channel or whatever, and then
and then repurposing the content later and cutting it up into shorts. Mike's here too.
MJG.
We got Donnie, we got Mike, we got Quirky Quest Treasures. Let's get to Quirky's question really fast. It did have to do with eBay. He said, what is the best way to promote your site on eBay? I find that when you promote a campaign using clicks on promoted listing, it can cost a lot if you didn't get a sale from that click. Yes, never use pay-per-click on eBay. It is a complete ripoff. If the only time that you would ever want to use pay-per-click, in my opinion, is if you had like hundreds of an item, and you could actually kind of leverage those clicks and people coming back and selling that same item over and over again, because it's really going to add up. If you only have one item and you get up to like spending $5 or $6 or $10 on clicks on that one item, your margin's probably gone on that item anyways. So definitely don't use the pay-per-click unless you got quantity of it. The best thing to do is just do the regular promoted listings by percentage, and then try to find the percentage that you really want to do. So have y'all ever tried the pay-per-click?
Nope.
Never. Yeah.
I don't like giving money away.
Right. Yeah, I've tested it here and there, and it has never worked for me. I even tested it as far as like to do new era hats, and I wanted to promote all of my 7.5s. And so I put that as like a keyword, or as was 7.5 new era. And so it would just show to people that started searching for 7.5s, and it didn't work. And if I just did Oklahoma hats too, it always cost so much more, and I've done it on multi items too, and I still wouldn't do it. I've done it on the earbuds that I have, like 50 of the same earbud on, and I cannot get it. So I don't know.
I think the best way to promote your store, to be honest, is just to do the percentage. Like, I don't think, I mean, you could do Facebook ads or, you know, something along those lines, but by the time you convert people, even to face, you know, even on a Facebook ad campaign that is showcasing your store in a way, you know, I don't think anything's going to get the bang for the buck like a promoted listing is going to get. Like I said, I do everything from a 0% sell-through rate to a 10 million percent sell-through rate at 5%. So I think Steven does a little bit higher. I don't think Rob does that at all.
No, I don't have I don't have enough stuff in there to warrant it yet. So
yeah. So I know 2% is a really popular one. 2 to 3% if you go and take a deep dive on YouTube, you're probably gonna find that a vast majority of those people, at least all the ones that I've ever watched, say 2 to 3%. At least back when I first started, and I was like watching a lot of that style video. You know, so that might be a good place to start. But I've always had success at 5%. It also depends on your category too, right? So Steven's in a saturated category, not necessarily with the headphones, but with the hats. So his ad rate is probably going to go up from there, you know?
Yeah. I'm usually between 9% and 12%.
Yeah.
And I usually use the dynamic rate. So every once in a while I can catch a break and it's only 9% instead of 12, but, and it just depends on how. Just immunity, you just have to play with it.
Yep. Yeah, if you're one of the everything sellers, I think you can tailor it much more to the specific item that you're listing. You know, you can just tailor it more. If you go out and get a haul of 30 things, you know, you don't have to blanket all 30 things with 5% or whatever. You know, if you're dropping a TI-84 plus up there, you probably don't need anything, you know? And so, and then on the flip side of that coin, if you got a, you know, a vintage t-shirt, you know, then that one might be 6, 7, 8%, whatever. So, you know, if you just, it, I would say if you just went and looked at the sell-through rate of every item that you're going to list, and the closer that those two numbers are together, the lower your ad rate, you know, you can get away with. The further apart those numbers are, you're probably going to have to up your ad rate a little bit to try to overcompensate for some of the lack of sell-through rate.
Yeah, right. And LWB has made a good point on this topic when we've talked about it in the past. And I don't know that it works, but he promotes just, but also raises his price to cover the promotion that he's spending on it.
That was exactly what I was going to say. You know, the one thing you got to make sure you do is you cover that expense, right, with your cost of goods.
And so if you're firm on the price and you don't plan on taking much less for it, I mean, you can ask a little bit more for the item. Will it take longer? Then it will take longer to sell, probably.
Yeah. Sure.
So it's
a balancing act.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is that you shouldn't. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with LWB. Like if that works for him, then more power to him. But you should not be sourcing items, right, that 5% is going to matter that much to you. That's how I look at it. I look at it is if I'm buying an item and I'm selling it for whatever the price is, if I took 5% less money on that sales price, that should be virtually irrelevant to the amount of money that I paid for it. Because if those two numbers are super close, then your cost, I mean, unless you're talking about,
well, I think
you know, multi-thousand dollar items. You know what I mean?
I think that's what we were just saying there. You got to make sure that your cost of goods and your sale price can absorb whatever percentage you pick.
Yeah, but I guess my point was to raise the price of, to raise your sales price to overcompensate for whatever percentage you're going to promote at, in my opinion, shouldn't matter because your margin should be so great that.
Well, not every margin.
You should be able to keep.
Not every margin is that way. You know that.
But I mean, you got to think about this. That way. A $5 buy-in for a $35 item, right? Is 5% of that $35 item really going to matter that much?
But not everybody has.
An extra 5%, yeah. I understand what you said. Would you pay an extra $1.50 to get it sold today?
Yes.
Why? I would.
1,000,000%. Dude, I would pay an extra $5 to get it sold today. I would pay an extra $10 to get it sold today. I know, but I'm being dead serious. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, because...
You might need to go to 15% then.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe. But it's... just one of those things where it's like, if you're looking at things and they're 6, 7, 8x what you paid for them, then, you know, for us, dude, we promote at 5% and we undercut the market by 20%. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're hitting it from both angles because you're getting things at $3 that are worth 35 or 40. So I have no problem listing it at $30.
Like, you got to remember, we're not everybody, and everybody doesn't have the same margin that we're working with. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a 5x margin or a 6x. They're looking at 2 to 3, trying to double and triple their money. And a 5% bump on something like that may affect them a little bit. So maybe if they buy this item for $5 and say, hey, I initially want to list it for 10, but now I want to... I'm not moving it, so I want to promote it. Do they add a couple dollars, make it a $12 item, and then promote it just to cover that promotion? They're still at their double their money if they sell it. And we all know eBay's going to eat part of that, and then they're probably going to take an offer, which is going to eat more of it. So people that are in that range trying to move a lot of stuff, a lot of little things, don't have that ability to just shit 5% away.
Yeah,
I would
and
tell
that's
you
what we were talking about. You need to move it up a little bit, and not everybody can just go out to a flea market and buy the best shit there is.
I would tell you that if you are having, and this is as nice as I can say this, if you are having that issue, do better sourcing. That's just like that. It's that plain and simple. Like if you're looking at just doubling your money from an eBay sale or whatnot, it's totally different. We're in a totally different world. If you're talking about doubling your, dude, like under $50 buy-in price on eBay, you got to do better. Like there is no, like there's just no excuse. Like if you're buying a $25 item that sells for $50, you got to do better than that. If you're buying a $50 item that sells for $100, now we're talking, okay, we can kind of get into that double up game. But if you're not looking for items that are bare minimum, I'm talking bare minimum 3x your money on no less than $10 buy-in price, you're completely doing this wrong.
Yeah, to sell on eBay, I would agree. You can't buy stuff to double your money, because I mean, double your money really, like Quirky, he asked, we still have to pay eBay 13%, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And so if you promote it 10%, you really are talking about 20 to 25% is mm-hmm. what you're talking about. And so taking 25% off of a $100 sale, that's $25. And mm-hmm. if you bought it for 50, I mean, you're taking $25. And, mm-hmm. and that's if you have to pay shipping, and it's, then that's another $10. You're making $15 on your $50 that you bought it for. And so then if you have any negotiation in there, if you take it down to 90, the percentages will change a little bit, but you don't have much wiggle room once you get to that.
Yeah.
Once you're just trying to double your money.
Maximum wiggle room. Max.
Yeah.
You know, like you want it. Like this is just my philosophy. It's not.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Right or... it's not for everybody, but my philosophy is like, I want to have items up there for $300 that if somebody offers me $200 or $150 and it's been there for 6 months, that I know that I paid a couple bucks for this thing. You know what I mean? And so like, dude, sure. No problem. Like I'll take that all day. You know what I mean? Like you do not want to be it unless the sell throughs are so great. You know what I mean? Like there's no problem paying a lot of money for stuff that also sells for a lot of money if it sells quick, but you don't want to have your money especially a lot of money tied up into a bunch of inventory that takes months and months and months on end to sell. You know what I mean? And so like, if Steven ran his business at just wanting to double his money, he's already said his cost of goods are somewhere around $2.50. So like, by the time it's a $5 sale rolls around and then you're tacking on 10% for a promotion fee and another 13% for this, that's a losing strategy. You know what I mean? And so like, even on all of his low end stuff, there's still, you know, his low end stuff is still 10, 12, 15 bucks on the, like on the very low end, and a buy-in cost, it's still 250. You know what I mean? So like after all the fees are done, is he going to make life-changing money from one sale? No, of course not. But he's never going to lose. You know what I mean? So that's the thing too, Quirky. Is like I don't know how long you've been doing this, and won't pretend like I've been doing this forever, but these are the steps that you will naturally go through. You know what I mean? You will find your groove on how much to pay for things and what the margin, like I always look at multipliers unless we're talking about bigger money, you know. So if it's a $5 investment, I want a $30 sales price. You know what I mean? Like that's how I always look at multipliers until you start getting into, you know, $20, $50 items, $100 items, then those multipliers can decrease a little bit because the amount is so much more. But double ups, just get that out of your mind. You have to look at things that will sell for 5-6x your initial buy-in price. And then all of that other stuff, the promoted, the taking offers, all of that will, you know, you won't have to worry about it because it'll be so minuscule.
Yeah. 5 into 30 is about the minimum, especially like if I'm buying on Whatnot.
Yeah.
If I'm sourcing online, I mean, I'm not going to buy anything that I think is going to sell between $10 and $15 and I'm getting it for five.
No, absolutely not. No. And even furthermore, when you look an item up, you don't even have to go to the sales stuff. If you see the first page of listings and they're like 12, they're like 10 to like 17 bucks, dude, go on to the next thing. It's not worth your time. And if that is what's worth your time, then you just got to change up a little bit because you're going to be putting a shit ton of time.
How do you look those up, Mike? Is that Google Lens maybe?
Yeah, dude, Lens it. Yeah, Lens it.
We might need to circle back around to what our
Google Lens, dude.
Google Lens it.
Yeah. So it's just dude, it's all learning, dude. Like, don't even. I tell Amanda's mom because she's, you know, new. I'm like, don't put pressure on yourself. Like, just, you know, it's okay to like make a mistake, take a lick. Like, it's fine.
Some, you know, it's an option, Mike. If you're trying to unload some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
but that, you know, that's another thing, just like what Rob said, is that some people don't have, like, I forget where Mike lives, like, even though I've shipped him a million packages, but you know, not everywhere has a flea market, you know? And so I, you yard sale them or, you know, things of that nature, you
and
know,
that's but, cash money and cash money is the margin is better than the 25% fee.
Yeah. You're just paying your table fee there. Then.
Yeah,
nobody's taking a percentage, and Mike's in upstate New York.
Yeah,
and taking something for $2 into $10 is and just cash and making that $8, it may be what you would get if you're taking something from $2 to $15 or $20. I mean, after you pay all the fees and the shipping and everything. So
yes, yeah, that's that's a good one though, because that's like it. A lot of people. And, you know, that's the thing, too, is that a lot of people look at even on our bolos, like, actually, maybe I should just do better at this. But everybody watches YouTube videos and then like they'll see this pod and the bolos and shit. And they'll be like, oh, man, like this thing sold for like 80 bucks. You know what I mean? Or like on every YouTube video, every time somebody picks up a T-shirt at the, you know, at the Goodwill racks or whatever. And they're like, they put up a comp and it's 100 bucks, you know, but like, you got to go down, like, you got to look like, okay, what is actually being deposited in my account from that, you know, because sometimes those numbers aren't like that close together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey guys, if you're wondering, Darren, welcome in. You're wondering why Donnie and Darren have these cool icons and beautiful green, is because they are part of our support team. They are our subscribers, and two of the guys that will always get a extra spot on the wheel of you have the giveaway.
Yeah.
Giveaways. I'm reaching down to pick up it.
Darren, don't miss the recorded ones, because you might have already won something and you didn't even know it, because we had to record a couple of podcasts and whoever was members, they were the only ones we got to draw from. So
And I will tell you that competition was light, boys. So you guys have some really good opportunities to
If you guys want to jump on, we got another one we gotta record, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're probably doing it next week. So sometimes if you want to grab a subscription before them, you'll get on the
wheel. And I'm saying, dude, it's $1.99, right? Everything that we give away, I don't think not a single thing has been sub 20 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
What can you buy for $1.99 anymore?
Nothing. You can't even buy a McDouble.
No.
Maybe. You can't even get one of those RC Colas out of the Degum. Walmart little vending machines, you know?
So like somebody offers me $5 for a hat and I'm like, you can't even buy a coffee for that, bro.
Yeah.
You can give me 8 or 10. It won't hurt you.
In sales doing the vending shows and festivals. I will say I just started following freaking Donnie on Instagram, and
yeah,
he has
His setup is sick, right?
Yeah, he has a great Instagram. His setup he's insane. A guy that is if you guys like the stuff that we like, Donnie has a really good Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish Donnie, you might have to tell me, where did you I haven't taken the time to like look up and see who they are around here that might put them on. It seems like I don't really ever see them that much. And if you're, are you traveling much to get to all these places? You just might have a better area than I have. I mean, I really,
have you ever tried to look up vintage markets like in your, like on Facebook and stuff?
Is that where you go, Facebook?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I never knew about them at all until,
Yeah, chances are they have a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And what are you paying, like $20 to $50 for a spot for the day? I would assume
not more than an hour of travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably, the price definitely probably depends on how large the market is, right? But
yeah,
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, though, and a lot of, at least out here in Florida, a lot of them are like fun too. They'll have about $50
for the day. 50 days, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of them out here will have, like, actual events. You know, it'll be, like, a concert event. But before that event, there'll be food trucks and arts and crafts. And there will be people there selling vintage T-shirts. And
if you can get hooked onto one with a couple food trucks, you're in, like, Flynn, man. I mean, that's everybody loves a Saturday or a Sunday shopping and eating from food
Brandon truck. who is normally in the chat, he cleans up in North Florida. He's got a town that he lives in just north of Jacksonville, and he's like, you know, basically one of the guy, like the only guys kind of like in that town that has like really good old Jack stuff or whatever. And dude, he'll go there and make like a lot. So yeah, they're sweet. They're definitely sweet.
Might have to look into it.
A lot, he says. A lot.
Because I did do like the, we have a little, kind of a little shop here that, one of those little consignment shops that have booths in it. I did that for about a year and it was terrible in this town. And
Is that the one, that kind where you just put your stuff in there and then like
almost like an antique mall type of vibe or whatever?
Yeah. That was no bueno. I don't think it really had the customer base that I need or the type of customer that would want a hat, but
he needs some hip.
Did you guys have a good week of sales or like the last handful of days?
Mine's been terrible still.
Yeah.
Because I went like almost 2 weeks without listing hardly anything since Mary was down, and it just, the listing's bad. But
yeah. We've been listing the same amount like the last 2 days. Well, like the weekend was a normal weekend, getting off like 20-ish items, like I think a little bit more, but and then like Monday and Tuesday and today, dog. And I'm like, golly, dude. I'm like, these freaking, I'm like, they, you know, and like we've been freaking murdering it, dude. I'm not even gonna lie. Since a couple months ago when we had the pod, when Amanda and I like combined our stores and it was like real rocky for like that first couple weeks or whatever. Yeah. And they just blasted off, dude. And then it's been like riding high. And like, we've had virtually no dips. And the last couple days though have not been sweet. Have not been sweet. We're on a ramen noodle diet right now.
take it to 10% for the weekend.
Yeah, I know. See how that goes. I'm about to
come on, give up that cash. 10%.
Yeah,
get off your wallet.
You only spent $2 on it.
I mean, dude, that's what I'm saying is I could sell everything at 10% promoted and literally almost not notice a difference because
I'm gonna give you $150. All the margins are good. Look, I'm gonna offer you $150 for everything. You said you'd
take
it.
That's a no for me, dog.
Trying to catch you on the moment.
Well, yeah, no, you give me $150 for each item. That works out good.
We're kind of, if you do a lot of apparel and you have a lot of clothing, we're kind of in a weird period too, because the season hasn't changed really. It's been really mild. And you're really, really waiting on the season to change for it to get cold out there, and then people
you haven't even gotten that little nip of fall yet. I mean, it's just like cool in the morning and hot again in the afternoon.
Yeah. So if you're doing a lot of clothing, you'll notice it spike once we finally get some colder temperatures. All right, let's get to, we were talking about why not a little bit, and we've got the huge raid train on Thursday and Friday. So if you guys are listening to this and need a place to buy some cool hats, make sure you hit the raid train Thursday and Friday.
That's tons the 25th and 26th, September 25th, 26th.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get this podcast out there either after we get done here or first thing in the morning. So
here's us.
We're on Thursday. Check that out. There will be some deals to be had. I know Mike's thinking about starting everything at a dollar.
I'm not thinking about it. I am doing it.
Starting stuff at a dollar.
I don't give a rip, dude.
Donnie is going at, what did I say? Donnie's, for our little group right here, Donnie's going to kick us off at 7:15. These are all Eastern time. Then Mike is going to go at 8 o'clock. I'm at 8:45. Yours truly there, Steven, is going to be at 9:30 p.m. And we are going bang to bang to bang to bang. I'm going to speak on behalf of Donnie and Fired Up and Hat House. And I think literally you got four shows worth of just stellar shit to buy from.
It's going to be good. I think we talk about it. We've talked about it before, but I don't think I'm never going to do a show that is not like this again. I'm only going to start things at $1 or $3, let it rip and go on. And I think I will only do this raid train and probably think similar to that. Do you think Colab does a great job putting it all together? I think he should charge. I think he should charge everybody $10. I think he should. I always give him a tip.
Yeah, I always give him $10.
Yeah, and yeah. I think he should charge for it. And I think, do you think that's a bad idea?
I don't know how you could do that because it's not his platform.
Yeah, but it's almost like a vendor spot. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like, but really, you. But it's kind of.
You think that breaks terms of service?
No, because Faded Show does. They all charge. They charge like, dude, it's like $250 for 30 minutes and $400 for an hour or something like that to co-host. You know, so I mean, they've been on there for freaking ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know. I mean,
I'm not trying to guilt anybody, Donnie. I'm just thinking out loud here.
You know, let's look at who's bringing what to the party, though.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely not want to, you wouldn't want to, if it was charged, you wouldn't want to pay, say $10 and then just bring some freaking dog shit. You know what I mean? You'd want to bring out your best shit. So, and it's also like, you know, you'd have to, because the viewership comes from the community. It comes from basically everybody. You know what I mean? On the flip side of that coin, somebody like Faded Show, they are the viewer. Like their account specifically is what garners the views. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But you're basically paying for somebody to take the time to organize it and get everybody set and answer any questions or whatever it may be. I'm sure there is time that goes into taking care of it. And I think
that's where, as a part of the raid train, I think that is actually where our actual responsibility to tip the man comes from. I don't think it's a if or an or. It's a the man has put in this much time and effort to pull all these people together and just do just what you said, Steven, to organize the whole thing, get it all set up, and then answer all the questions up and to, even with the shout out he did today to, you know, pat everybody on the butt and remind everybody what's going on starting tomorrow. You know, that is I believe that's what makes a responsibility for us to tip him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For his effort and his time.
I was actually going to do a little different thing this tomorrow night and actually load in like a support piece for him. Right. You know what I mean? So like, and like it not be like one of the, it's, I mean, it ain't gonna be like one of the crazy hats, but like, it won't be one of the worst ones either. It'd be like one of the ones that are kind of somewhere in the middle.
And oh, then just so you're talking about running this hat
to, and then, yeah. And then just whatever that's bidded up to, that's what he gets.
That's a good idea too.
And then like, to be honest, like say it goes for $1, dude, then I'm just going to get, I'm going to give him 10 bucks regardless. But if it goes up to 25, then he gets 25.
I get what you're saying there, but I quite honestly, I think A, it's probably easier just to tip the man because we all know that tips are not touched by whatnot. So straight money.
Yeah.
And I think what you're planning to do is very noble, but I think it's really going to interrupt the flow of your show.
The flow of my show.
Yeah. I think if you're rocking and rolling and then you do this one hat and say, this is for our guy Glab, whatever this gets. Yeah. I mean, unless you don't announce it and just rock with it.
I was thinking of just doing it. Like I was thinking about doing it the second to last, like the second to last hat. And then just being like, hey, this is the collab support piece. You know what I mean? And just make sure, like, I mean, dude, to be honest with you, I got 70, like, pretty freaking good. Hey, there's like 30 really good hats. There's like 10 really, really, really good hats. And then, you know, there's a lot of other, like, just like above average on the good scale. You know what I mean? There's a lot of like wild shit that I have that I just have been hoarding.
I get you. So, I think,
you know,
you do you, Mike.
What I need is I need Steven's sewing machine so I can sew on a new snap for a freaking 49ers single line script that I just got yesterday or 2 days ago. It was 100% wool, dude.
Just send them to me. And I if you send them to me, I'll get them done and I'll get the ones done I need that do too, because then I'll have pressure to get that done. So then I'll get mine done.
I just didn't get it. I just didn't get it in time. So I'm like tomorrow, I'm like, do I run this? Like, it's like a super good hat, obviously. And I'm like, do I run it with broken snaps?
Oh, well. There you
go. Or, you know?
That reminds me.
APOC, that's what I'm talking about. And that's how I started. And that's how it's easy to do. Just buying lots on eBay. I get the question all the time. How do I get started? Where do I find stuff? And that is really where I started. And then that's when you start figuring out this is where it comes from. This person is posting lots every single week. They obviously have a ton of hats. And then your relationship with that person can just go from there. Sorry. I
have a question for I don't know how to say that.
I just call him APOC. Looks like
APOC. I do have a question. When you're looking for hat lots to buy on eBay specifically to flip, is there, like, are you just looking at, say, sports hats or, say, golf hats? Or are you, like, just...
Answer your question right there.
What does it say? Oh,
I do weird searches, like, old, bulk, or getting rid of.
Yeah, some kind of, like, off-the-cuff ones. He's like, getting rid of is one that I wouldn't have ever thought of. Yeah.
It's like real estate. He's looking for a motivated seller.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. That's interesting. That's actually cool. I've bought a number of hat lots as well, but there's just a lot of you get a couple of good ones and then there's a lot of kind of other ones, but stuff. Oh yeah, no, that's genius. There's people that run entire flip hustles just by buying things that are inaccurately listed because they're getting them for super cheap and they know that you know. They're about to
sell for a lot. There's another genre of those buyers that I am convinced that buy stuff that is listed inaccurate just so they can say they want to return it and try to get their money back for it too. I'm convinced those people are out there too.
Hey, now, you just unlocked.
After 53,000 sales, I've found you. I know you. I know. I'm not saying it's you, APOC. I'm not saying that. I just went off on kind of a tangent there. It wasn't directed towards you. But
hey, we just unlocked something deep, deep down inside Steven that was pissed off, dude. Oh, that's literally so funny.
His face turned.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. Matter of fact,
it's APOC that's been doing it to me.
Do you guys remember right before that. Go. So the bowl broke, right? The freaking Grail bowl that I sold, right? Remember me telling you guys it broke in the mail and so on, right? So we ended up coming to an agreement. We didn't insure it. Dumb move, the whole nine, right? So I got $100 from the post office, and the lady, it obviously wants her money back as she should. And I just told her, I said, hey, I do want it back though. You know, I was like, I'll pay for the return shipping. Like, I do want it back because it wasn't completely shattered. So I'm thinking there's maybe somebody can fix it. Maybe somebody can use it in another way. And she's like, well, I still want to keep it, you know? And I'm like, all right, well, we're going to have to come to some kind of agreement on.
But you're not keeping it for free.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And so anyway, I basically kept $100 of her money and refunded her the rest. So we were still up $200 total on the thing. So it didn't all end up horrible. It wasn't the $450 whatever that it sold for, but you know, $200 is still a lot better than zero. So I was happy with that.
That's true.
And do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago I showed you guys the pool cue case?
Yes.
Was that that was one of the bowls. The guy gets it and he goes, this ain't leather. I want my money back. And I'm like,
is it leather?
I'm like, dude, first of all, it's old as shit and it's leather. And I was like, if you want your money back, send it back to me. No problem. You know what I mean? He came off as a dick anyway, but I was just like, dude, I have no problem giving you your money back. If you don't think that it's leather, just send it back to me. And that's it. He's like, I'm not sending it back and I still want my money back. I'm like, dude, you're crazy. I'm like, there's no way. So
that ain't happening.
After going back and forth, like, well, he says, you need to send me a partial before I leave my review. And I'm like, oh, check. So I hit up eBay. They go through the messages. They're like, yeah, we don't support this kind of messaging, blah, blah, blah. You're all good. So I basically write him back and I'm just like, send it back to me. Get all your money back. I'm not sending you a partial. It doesn't matter what you say. So he's like, I'll just keep it. And I'm like, well, dude, if you don't like it that much, then why would you, you know what I mean? Why would you not?
Why would you just keep it?
Yeah, I talked him down from a negative to a neutral. So it was a freaking win, dude. I was happy with it. Yeah, I was happy with it.
Now, you do not get to keep it and get money back.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
what the hell?
For the most part.
Yeah, exactly. That's not happening. Are you guys,
unless I just really screw something up.
Yeah,
you know, if I just totally did it wrong and I just want this to be over because I screwed up so bad occasionally.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give you $100. Like, there's just no way. I'll give you a couple bucks, but there's no way I'm going to give you $100. Are you guys super stoked for tomorrow night or what?
Yeah, we're going to blast.
Is everything ready? Do you guys have like any final preparations that need to be done?
I'm thinking of pulling some more hats, but I got like 70 ready to go. I got some pretty good ones. Mine will be more tailored towards old truckers and people that like the vintage truckers and the older vintage hats like that. I don't have a ton of sports. I have a here and there, but
I think I'm ready.
You always have some really good truckers.
Yeah, yes, I try to save them up and just use them for this. I like selling them here.
Yeah, I would say those probably do. You'd probably say second best to sports, right?
Yeah.
The old truckers.
Yeah.
Like if you had to, you know, if you had to like tier all the old sports, the truckers, the newer sports, you know, golf falls in there somewhere, like in the probably the top three, really, because there's so many golf people. But truckers always seem to do really well.
I have placed myself in the men's category, not the golf category, this go round.
Oh yeah. What did I've been getting yeah, all I know is that MJG better have that bank account wide open for tomorrow, because I know that man. I know that man's about to blow some freaking nickels, dude.
I got a couple of pretty good golf too. Yeah.
Oh wait, I gotta show Donnie this one hat. I was telling him about it today.
It's almost that time, Rob. That one's crazy.
Oh yeah, I like that. Are you gonna rip that one on Thursday or tomorrow?
Yeah, it's right there. Okay. It's up there.
All right, cool. Is that an old one?
It's right there next to the Evel Knievel looking Harley Davidson.
Is that an old one or is it a new one?
No, it's an old one. When's the last time they made Harley cigarettes?
I don't know, but I didn't know if it was just like a little retro throwback or something.
No, here's the tag.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna need that.
Oh, look, you didn't even see this part of it.
I'm gonna need that. Oh, that's gas.
That's pretty sweet. Oh, I got a Marlboro hat too, a Marlboro Racing. I gotta go shape it up though.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of shaping I have to do tomorrow. I got my final soakers. Oh, that's what I was gonna tell you, Steven. I was like, I elected not to wash that Chiefs diamond cut. There's a little bit of yellow in right here, but yeah. After today, I was like, I got through washing a ton of hats, and I think two of them had bleed, so I had to like go back and correct it. And just the amount of red that is on that white of the Chiefs hat, I was like, all for just this little bit right here being yellow. I was like, I'm not gonna stress out about.
You're $10. You know. I mean, as long as you say, hey, it's got this yellowing on it, I don't think you're going to be $10, I would think, maybe yeah, the difference.
Maybe. Yeah, because like it's not a hard clean. It's
if you bleed the hell out of it, $40.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm like, you just have to be mindful of, and it was so hot outside that the water wasn't cooling down enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like I normally put ice, I normally do hot water, my mixture, mix it up, and then I'll put water with ice in there to make it cold so it limits the amount of bleed. And it was so hot outside, it was just freaking keeping the water hot.
Yes, Donnie. I'll do my hat shaper deal that I always do when I'm live.
Steven, you need to is that APAC or what was that person's APOC name earlier in the chat? APOC?
APOC, are they, yeah.
Is that somebody that you know?
No, I that's why I was hoping I didn't piss him off because it wasn't directed towards him.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything since I
Well, if he's still in here by chance, if you APOC, go to you Steven's here? Because he's buying or she is buying a lot of hats. If you go to Steven's Whatnot Show tomorrow night at 9:30 Eastern Standard, he makes hat shapers. And I mean, I have a billion of them, but like hats that will be shaped up really nice. Because some of the hat lots that I've bought, the hats are destroyed. They're flattened or whatever. And he sells these hat shapers that will make your hats look good again, so you're not putting them on a pot or a bowl or whatever the case is. Yeah. But yeah,
thank you for the plug, fellas. Let's get to
That's what they look like,
and they're cheap in his show. That's what I'm saying. In his show, they're like stupid cheap. So get them there
for sure. It's time.
It's time. I can't hear it. Try your favorite cash finds. Can you hear it, Rob? Raiders keep you informed. Raiders bolos can't be ignored.
Bolo finds, bolo prize. Raiders find the bolo prize. Bolo finds, bolo prize. Raiders find the bolo prize. All right. Mike, you're going first this time since I already have your stuff loaded.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
What do we got right here?
Here we go. Like I said, we did the Flea Across Florida like 2 weeks ago. And this is one of the pickups. These are hiking boots. What's cool about these is you cannot bend your foot in them. They're just super rigid. So they're like when I picked them up, they're heavy and they were awkward. So and then obviously it has the Gore-Tex tag on the outside. So I like them. These are called Vasque, V-A-S-K. Q-U-E. They're leather hiking boots. I think I paid $10 for them. They sold like really quick, I think within a week or so. For $85. So
the Gore-Tex tag, basically, if you have a good boot in great Gore-Tex condition, typically you're 70 plus, right?
Yeah.
If yeah, you that's got a Gore-Tex tag on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that, see, Gore-Tex really on anything. It adds value.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that I've ever picked up Gore-Tex that hasn't really been worth like a good amount is like military trousers. Like they make a lot of Gore-Tex military trousers, and they're like $25, like some of the newer ones. So other than that, like Gore-Tex jackets and stuff like that are all always good. But these are cool. They were just interesting because they were so heavy. I was like, oh dude, I was like, I gotta look these up. So that's a good one. And the size obviously is great. A men's 12 is a good size. Next slide. So I put this one in not because it's some insane sale or because that it sold all that fast, but we got this at the bins. Anything like this at our bins, you basically just walk up there and whoever is the cash register person is like, how about $3 or how about, you know what I mean? Like there's never a set price. These type of items don't go by weight. This was, I believe it was 36 inches tall and 31 inches wide. So it was a large painting. We paid $5. We had two of them. We paid $5 for these. This one, the artist on here is Joe Sambataro. It's Sambataro. And actually some of his paintings do really well. This one was oil on canvas. It was signed. It had the whole like Art Institute thing on the back. The reason I put this one in though is because, like I said, the buying price was super low. And Amanda likes this kind of stuff. So we literally hung this up on our wall next to the other one. It probably only took, we've had it less than 3 months, that's for sure. But a lot of people don't buy this stuff because they're afraid to ship it because it's so big and it's weird. And so like that's why I put this one in here, because it's just like it's a $5 into $105, and it didn't take up any space. Like we used it in our home, you know.
Did you think about putting it on Facebook Marketplace?
No, because like we liked it, you know what I mean? So like we were in no rush to get rid of it.
He was going
to
leave it up there till it sold.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's cool.
Quick question for anybody that's sitting here looking at this, thinking about this. Now, did you A, scrounge a box for it, or B, did you do like one of the Home Depot picture boxes?
So the Home Depot, the Home Depot picture boxes were way too big for this. Between the medium, which was way too small, and the large, which was way too big, there were no picture boxes. So this is what I did. I got like $30-something. Like, yeah, for like picture and mirror box specifics. So this is what I did. I went to Home Depot. I got an extra large, just regular moving box, right? And it just so happens when you fold it down, it fits perfect. Fits perfect. So I put in a whole bunch of wrapping. I did. I put cardboard over the top of that. I wrapped that with like a billion pounds of bubble wrap, and then I made my own cardboard corners for the painting as well. So there's cardboard on top and on bottom. That's bubble wrapped underneath it and bubble wrapped on top of it. And then I made my own cardboard corners. I put it in a box that you would normally fold the flaps in. I just turned it how you would normally buy it, where it's already flat. And there was plenty of space. So I will report back to you next week if the lady calls me or shoots me a message and says, hey, this thing arrived in a million pieces. But I did as good of a job as I could have done without having a box that is specifically tailored to
right. Well, there's no glass involved, right? It's just oil.
No,
it was shown.
Just oil and canvas.
I will say this: I think, and it's been forever since I looked this up, but you can buy the corners pre-made out of styrofoam. You know, the big fat gushy ones. I mean, I think what you did with the box is perfect, because like you say, and if you go to Home Depot, those boxes, pre-made picture ones, are $20 to $40.
Yeah.
They're easy to use and easy to get and fast to use, but you're going to pay for them. But if you do what Mike did, I think if you look, you can, I mean, if you're going to continue down this road, you may want to invest in some of these, but I think pretty sure they make packs of those corners in bulk.
Yeah, that's genius. That was, I just tossed that one in because, like, you can't be afraid to get stuff. And it's not that specific item, but just like things that are, you know, outside of the norm. That's like the fourth painting, I think, that we've sold. The largest one by far. All the other ones have been small.
Well, but it's not even that, Mike. When you're sending stuff like that, that memorabilia stuff, that stuff sells like hotcakes. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And for good money. I probably got about $1,500 sitting right there on that wall if I wanted to put it on eBay. But, you know, to ship it, I'd have to do exactly what you did and make sure it was perfectly taken care of. But
maybe you should after you lose to the Lions like that.
Easy now. Easy sport. Easy.
Yeah, hey, y'all got it. Y'all do not miss. Do not miss our pre-recorded pod, please.
Easy sport.
Yeah, so that's why I put that in there. I put it in there because you can make stuff work. Not everything has to be 100% perfect. There's plenty of ways to make your own boxes and make stuff work. And that's usually where you can find super good value, is things that are large and people don't feel like shipping it. This one was just awesome, dude. The guy, one of my guys at the flea market, he knows me. He bought a storage unit. This was in there. It didn't come with the camera, which is kind of a bummer because that would have been a huge come up. But he came up and he said, "Hey, man," he's like, "you always buy cameras from me." He's like, "what about this?" It was not new in the box, but the thing was virtually brand new. Had the box, had everything with it. And he's like, $10. And I'm like, all day. This is a Canon. It's a Canon telephoto zoom lens. It's the EF 75 to 300 millimeter. This thing sold literally. I listed it and it sold like within an hour or two, probably for $100 plus ship. Yeah. So it's like, I think most of the comps were around 119 to all the way to 130. So like I said, when you buy stuff for $10, I'll take an hour sales price for 100, no problem, and get it up out of here. So yeah, that's mine. A lot of camera stuff. I will say, just very quick note, if you're not a camera person and you buy camera lenses, because I've already done this and made this mistake, if you're out in a place where, say, it's an outside market or stuff like that, or things have not been stored properly, open up the camera lens and look through it, because the outside of the lenses can be very good shape, very nice, but there's little particles of mold that can grow in between the front lens and the back lens. And it's hard to see unless you literally go out and put it up to light and look through it yourself.
Moldy so lenses. Careful.
Yeah. So just be careful when
it means they got water
buying. Yeah. Just be careful when you're buying stuff like that, because the rest of it can look beautiful. Just a little bit of moisture in there. And
what happens is they get moisture in them, like you're saying, and then they dry over time. That's why they look so nice to the eye. But if you look through it, like you're talking about, you will see.
I've got burned on a couple really good lenses that I bought too. And it was just, I was just new, just an honest mistake. And I didn't know to look through them. And, I got,
well, you know what? You didn't have a Reselling Raiders podcast to listen to.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Oh, we're going right into mine. Here we go. Guys, I want to talk to you about shafts. I got to talk to you about shafts.
Boss.
Super stiff.
Okay.
All right. So we paused.
All right. We're back now.
Okay. Back. Shafts. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Everybody's shaft is different. So what you want to do is your research here, because as you can see, shafts can range from anywhere from cheap, like $80. And that's probably not the cheapest shaft. If you get a little dinky shaft, it's going to be $30, maybe $20, something like that. But if you get some of these really nice top of the line shafts, they can go to the moon. And as you can see right here, the Fujikura The Velocors are very popular right now. That's a hell of a shaft. That's a $300 shaft. These black private reserve Aerotechs, they are ridiculous. There's another Velocor down here that went for $200. Now, that's an extra stiff. That's going to be a hard sell because there's not a lot of people that can swing an extra stiff shaft. So I think it was priced accordingly there. But the main thing is, made get all comfy with the shaft talk. The main thing is to do your research on those. And then I'm going to bring you another golf item here. Swag Golf. Whatever the hell it is, pick it up. Get it as low as you can, and it's always going to bring you money. Anything that has SWAG on it, it's going to look wicked. It's going to sell wicked. Swag Golf is a just gigantic niche brand, and they put out limited lots. So grab it up if you could get it.
Kind of like our boy Scotty, right?
Yeah, except they're
they do the limited wild stuff
side.
Like that.
Yeah, they're on the wild side.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I got several things.
Good ones, dude.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know about Swag Golf.
No, ridiculous.
I did sell something Gore-Tex myself. Burton. I had this one for quite a while because I listed it like at the very end of the season last year. It was like March when I listed it. But Burton typically does really well. They do a lot of, I think I put it in here, but Burton does a lot of snowboarding, snow skiing. So like a snow skiing jacket, but Burton, they do a lot of hats too. Sometimes you can get some good Burton hats as well. But really great ski brand right here. Whether it's pants or jackets, the pants can go from $50 to $100, $150 to just depending on it. But really good brand right there.
Nice.
And then I pulled up some of the best-selling hats between $100 and $200 on eBay. And I wanted to get some of these brands maybe we haven't talked about before. I don't think we have talked about this brand, Chrome Hearts. Yeah. Wow. You're really looking for this. Most of the time it's got this CH, Old English CH on the front, but it can come in all sorts of different styles, but Chrome Heart, and it can be a lot more expensive than $200 as well. You can be up in the $400, $500, $600 range. If you come across anything Chrome Hearts,
there's a $1 million Chrome Hearts truck.
Is there? I haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's a one of one. It's owned by this jeweler in New York City. Yeah, Chrome Hearts is not I'm sure you know this, Steven. It's not just hats. Chrome Hearts is a massive, like, insanely popular streetwear brand that's been around for a while. And they have, like, hoodies, shirts, and jeans. And you find anything Chrome Hearts. Also highly faked, so be careful. Yeah. But if you find any of that, all of it will command stupid high price.
Yeah, I've had one Chrome Hearts before. That's it.
Man. How much did you get for it? Do you remember?
$250.
Right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Chrome Hearts is freaking sweet. I've never found it.
And then I wanted to bring up this one too. Rob's going to be leaving in a minute, but almost any time this is when I find there's like this cross section between Japan and hats. I don't know what it is, but when you find hats that have a Japanese tie, a lot of times the sale price on them are crazy. And then anytime that you find hats that have this weird kind of embroidery on it, it may be different in some way. You want to do it. I mean, you don't find hats with flowers on it every day. I would go ahead and pick it up, especially if you're paying $1 or $2 on that stuff.
They have smiley faces too.
Right. On these?
It's the signature flower of Takashi Murakami.
Right. And I didn't know. I had no idea about that. But anytime I find strange embroidery, I always pick it up, make sure I look it up. And a lot of times, like you're saying, do you know who Murakami is?
Yes, he is. This is him right here. That's Takashi Murakami right there.
Is he an artist?
He is an artist, and he is famous for his artwork that you see and that I just showed you. His latest big thing for past few years is he has been with Louis Vuitton, and he's been doing lines for Louis Vuitton. So
right.
When you see shit, I don't have anything around me. I have a ton of Louis Vuitton Murakami here at my house. When you see that stuff, it's LV times 10 for the sale. What you have here is the MLB kicked off this year in Japan. They actually played,
right?
You know, since they have the Dodgers have what the hell's his name? Ohtani. The Ohtani. Dodgers have Ohtani. They took the series to Tokyo, and they played at the Tokyo Dome, and they did special series of jerseys, and Takashi Murakami did all of them. So they used him as their designer for all of the MLB kickoff series for this year.
I'm pretty sure I've sold some fitted ones and probably underpriced them, because they've had almost this exact same kind of flower design.
Yeah, he literally has several designs. Like if you ever see that panda,
yeah,
that's his too. He's this kind of action right here. Let me see if you can see that action right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like here's the Louis Vuitton stuff. If you guys ever see this, that pattern, that's his.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's his. That's a wallet that's about the size of my phone that's going for $225. This right here is at LV right now, and it's $6,000.
Drop in the bucket, dude.
Yeah. $6,000. So Takashi Mori, believe it or not, the hat's probably not the bolo, but anything Murakami is the bigger bolo.
Right.
So
This is our resident Japanese expert, I will say.
Yeah, that's why I pulled.
I mean, also, if you remember, my wife and I also sell luxury products, so that's where I know Takashi Murakami from, is from LV. And I will say this. My wife and I were just talking about this last night while we're on it. Right now, they have Louis Vuitton makes playing cards, and the Murakami ones are hot right now. If you can find a playing card that's got the Murakami print on it, or the panda or anything like that, snatch
it. Are they leather?
No, they're actual playing cards. And they're selling right now for like a couple hundred dollars a piece.
People got too much money, dude.
So they look like that. Well, where's see that?
Wow.
Well, no, what's wild is that they took the Louis Vuitton design and just made it white and pink and a bunch of fruity ass colors. And then they're like, Takashi Murakami.
Yes.
It's like, it's the exact same thing. It's just,
you got to see the whole line to understand what the print in that.
To truly appreciate it, Mike, you're going to have to take a look at the whole line.
Yeah. Sorry. That's crazy.
The Mike, next if you one, ever see one, bring it home to me.
Yeah.
The last one that I wanted to point out was Pokemon. And I want to point it out because 99.9% of all the Pokemon hats that you find out there in the world are worth nothing. This one happens to be a special edition with the legendary, what is that, Dialga?
Dialga. So,
the vintage Pokemon can actually be really good, but anything that's like Y2K or 2010s to now, I mean,
yeah, you got number one worthless. There.
Yeah, number one of 200. So, and there are some other Pokemon that can do really good in the vintage hat world too. Definitely want to look up old Pokemon, but anything 2010 to now, pretty worthless.
Donnie, we're all with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, if you ever get that problem, give me a call. I got a bunch of those wallets upstairs.
Incredible.
All right. We ready to draw a name?
Let's do it.
Do it.
Hopefully either Amanda wins because I need another hat shaper because I only have 7 right now, or a pop to papa or a pop.
I don't think Amanda's even on here.
No, she didn't make the wheel.
No. Oh, are we?
All right. Well, then to be fair, I do want a pop kamama or whatever it is.
I hope Apakabaka. Here we go.
Oh,
and the winner is
Deb. A freaking absolute stud.
See?
Legendary.
Deb couldn't make it tonight, but she is a member.
Yep.
And she'll win anyway.
Has its privileges.
Yeah. Has Deb, its privileges.
I don't think I have your address yet. So send me a message. All right. Appreciate everybody hanging out tonight. Remember, we go live every Wednesday night, unless it's a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, which is a possibility too. And until next time, when we talk everything from eBay to whatnot.
Yeah. See y'all tomorrow. See ya.